The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
I think he's maybe a little out of shape. To me, it looks like he's a little overweight. And his timing, his quickness, he's maybe like an instant slower than he's been.
Tommy Eisen, you can't do any wrong in his eyes. If you're a Celtic, you can't do any wrong. You know, and I appreciate that. And it was the truth. You know, and I had to get in better shape, and I had to, you know, become more dedicated to what I have been doing, but more emphasis. So, you know, I took that. I was on the bike the next morning, you know, versus the climber. I was doing everything possible to make sure I prepared my body for what's to come for the rest of the season. So it's a long season. Just wanted to get prepared. But I shouted him out because it's the truth. I need it.
Sorry for playing that ugly audio of Heinsohn fat shaming Kyrie Irving.
I just, when Kyrie at the end of the game was like saying something about Tommy Heinsohn, like, Tommy Heinsohn called him fat. And then, yep, twice. We had Mike Gorman on yesterday. Like, yeah, yeah.
Give me two porterhouses.
Danny Ainge is the president of basketball operations for your Boston Celtics. Hello, Mr. Ainge.
Good morning, Fred and Rich and Shazawi. How are we doing today?
Thanks, Danny. Appreciate it.
He's a part-time magician, my friend. Yes, he can wow you.
Yeah, that's right. It's his birthday today.
Hey, John, I just have one question, John.
What's that?
Did you ever just Google Shazawi's magic shop?
After?
And there is such a place?
I did Google it, and I'm like, oh, man.
No, he didn't.
He followed me halfway home.
I didn't say it happened at the station. After I got home, I Googled it. No, I'm like, oh, okay. But,
like, what was your motivation for following me?
I don't remember why. I mean, this is 9 years ago. I don't remember why I followed you.
Like, but I'm like, why is this guy following? Like, what does he think I'm going to do?
I honestly have no idea why.
All right.
At this point.
But Danny brings up a great question. Why did you not Google that?
I don't know.
He was money hungry.
I'm just so happy that someone wanted me to speak for their company. I'm like, okay, I'll take the money. And I had asked Fred earlier, what do you think about this? And Fred, in character, said, well, I mean, it looks silly, but I'd do it. It's cash. I'm like, okay.
All right. Well,
you thought Fred was going to Shazawi. That's why you followed him.
That's right. He was like, well, I could use some rings.
That's right.
They're difficult to get apart.
That's what I'm looking for.
Oh, man. So what do you think of that exchange, the whole Kyrie Irving, Tommy Heinsohn calling out Kyrie for looking out of shape? What did you make of that whole thing?
I thought it was great. I thought Kyrie handled it perfectly, and it was great. Yeah, Kyrie, you know, came up to me, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks ago and just felt like that was something that he needed to do. He needed to just get, like, in great tip-top shape. He wasn't in bad shape. He looked like our best player throughout training camp. But, you know, it's a different level of conditioning when you're a top-line scorer in the NBA. Scoring is more wear and tear than anything in the NBA.
Is that what was the difference between all of the games leading up to this last one in Detroit? Because, I mean, that seemed to be his coming out party. I mean, like, Kyrie is back, it felt like, after scoring 31 points. Do you think it was just him being I don't want to say out of shape, but not in basketball shape?
Oh, no. I don't believe that. I think Kyrie was partly tongue-in-cheek there. I think he felt like he needed to get in better shape. You know, well before Tommy made those comments, but I think the way Kyrie handled it and gave Tommy credit for getting him in shape. But I actually thought the Detroit game where Kyrie scored 3 points, he played really well. He dictated the entire tempo of the game. We got wide open shots. He'd penetrate in the paint. There'd be five defenders in the lane. And, you know, we made him pay, but Kyrie's tempo, pushing the tempo, was fantastic in the first Detroit game.
Well, and the good thing too is that over those last two games, you also saw Jaylen Brown kind of come out of his shell and start to find his footing again. What have you noticed between the last two games and what was happening before, and what has changed with Jalen?
You know, I don't think much. I think there's going to be – we only have one basketball, and we have a lot of guys that are capable of scoring, and so they're just not going to be able to do it every night, not everybody. And we're going to see two or three different guys each night. And I'm not worried about that. When guys have 6 points in a game, it doesn't mean they played bad. It doesn't mean anything. It just means that they didn't get the opportunity that night. Now, there's going to be times where guys go 2 for 15 from the field and score 6 points, and that's different. But the opportunities are going to come to different guys each night, and we have to be able to accept that.
I'm watching your team, Danny, and we've discussed it many times since the season started. You know, Kyrie Irving's kind of playing himself back into shape. Gordon Hayward, we've seen flashes, and it's different guys every night. But the one guy I think that's pretty much been the most consistent since the season started has been Marcus Morris. And I don't know if he plays the villain on your team for when you go to other cities, but it just seems to me like he relishes the role that you've given him, especially this season.
You know, I agree with you. Marcus has played great. He's having a terrific year, coming off the bench and really giving some spark both on both ends of the court and, you know, on the glass. So, yeah, I would agree that he's off to a great start this year.
Do you like how the NBA is now, where teams seem to, this year more than anything, be scoring 140 points? And you know, someone made a great point this morning. Maybe a lot of that has to do
back to Danny's playing days. That's what it used to be like.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So, but a lot of it might have to do with the 14-second shot clock on a rebound. What do you like this brand of basketball as opposed to what it was before this?
You know, I think that shot selections are getting better. I think that pace is probably the number one reason why. I mean, people coming out of training camp and they're really emphasizing pushing the ball up the court. The 14-second rule change, the foul rule changes. I think all of those things contribute a little bit. And I think it will level out. But there's been some crazy high-scoring games early that doesn't usually happen.
Oh, it's been absurd. I mean, it's been, especially in the West. Who was it? Klay Thompson had like 52 points the other night.
14 threes. He had 52 points in 27 minutes.
Okay. Now, at the beginning of the season, we're looking at the Celtics and thinking, all right, well, these guys, you know, they're a team that we hope can hang with Golden State. And Golden State, even, I think it was Sean Livingston, said, you know, the Celtics are a younger version of us. And when they speak, they seem to think that, you know, the Celtics are a formidable matchup. When you see how the Warriors are playing, is this the best that you've seen the Warriors as a team play up to this point?
No, I wouldn't say that. I mean, they've been good for the last 3 or 4 years, obviously. And but you know, Klay Thompson was 4 for 34, I think, before he made those 14 threes in one game. And you know, but that's just the nature of 3-point shooting. There's a lot of variable in that, and you sometimes live by it and sometimes die by it. But Golden State is the best shooting team in the league, for sure. They have three best shooters in the entire NBA on one team. So they get away with more difficult shots. They're great players that make great shots. But, you know, we're going to have to beat them with depth. I mean, that's going to have to be our calling card this year, is we have a lot of good players that we can tag team and, but it doesn't do any good to have depth if you're not playing hard at all times and try to wear teams down.
It was a guy who played on, obviously, a legendary Celtics team and played against Michael Jordan and his Bulls. What do you believe that the Warriors, this has been an argument that a lot of people have been having this year, are the Warriors the best team of all time?
I would not say that yet, no. I mean, they're a great basketball team, but I wouldn't give them that title yet, no.
How many more do they have to win?
I don't know. I'm not sure, but
Celtics won 8 straight in the 60s, Rich.
Yeah, but wouldn't you even argue that that's a different time and what they're accomplishing it seems to be, like, I mean, the competition's a little bit bigger. It's not the same thing.
Yeah, you know, like, listen, I'm not sure how many more they have to win. I just, like, wait till this year goes by for sure. But they're a very talented team. I mean, all the credit to them. They're loaded.
Danny, I was reading last week, and I don't know, it might have happened before we had you on the last time. Apparently, there's a new museum that is going to detail the life of Larry Bird in Terre Haute, Indiana. And it's going to start from when he was a child all the way through his playing days and celebrate his life. I'm just wondering, is there a Danny Ainge Museum in Oregon or in Utah we should be made aware of?
Not that I'm aware of. I hope not. No, I don't. There is no museums, no. That'll be cool. Terre Haute, Larry Bird is, you know, he's made Terre Haute, put them on the map. So,
oh, has he?
Have a museum. I love it.
I don't see a lot of pilgrimages to Terre Haute, Indiana. But, you know, he's a man done well. So they're putting it in Terre Haute?
Terre Haute, Indiana, yes. It's part of a new convention center out there. Indiana governor just announced it last week.
Oh, wow, that's not wasteful.
Bird himself is donating some personal memorabilia. Yeah,
here's a Coke that I drank out of.
but that Larry and Magic little thing by Fox was pretty good.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed.
That three-game, did you see that?
Yes,
absolutely. Yeah,
Larry, yeah, I like that. That was good.
Larry seemed not quite as into it as Magic.
Yeah, Magic seemed a little too excited.
Yeah.
An update on Daniel Tice. What are you hearing?
We got good news from Daniel this week. It looks like it'll be, you know, a few weeks as opposed to, you know, 6 or 8 weeks. So it's not quite as bad as maybe initially thought, so that's good. But, you know, still day-to-day, uncertain. I mean, he's still in a boot right now, but it's not day-to-day. I was wrong. But it's not too far down the road, probably a few weeks.
All right, Danny Ainge, thank you so much for supporting the fledgling Shazawi business with your endorsement. We appreciate that, and
do I get paid for that endorsement too?
that's I mean, if you come into
John,
the show,
do I get to share a percentage with you, John, now?
Absolutely, Danny.
All right,
my pleasure.
You, Danny, you come in, we'll give you one of them wands that turns into flowers. I mean, that's the best I can do. All right. Or one of the things that locks your fingers together. All right. Danny Ainge, thanks so much. Have a great week.
All right. See you.
All right. I appreciate it.